Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, October the 22nd, 292nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the guy who has more pumpkins than he has kids, Dave Sharp.
Good afternoon. What an introduction.
Have you guys done the pumpkin carving stuff yet?
This last weekend we did, yeah.
Jump in the middle and just have a huge mess, yeah.
Oh yeah, right. That's what the garage is for.
Now, do you do the fancy one? Where you peel the outside off and you have the two tones. And the...
You're a triangle
kind of guy?
We bought some special tools one year and tried to make it really intricate, but no, not...
Didn't happen,
No.
Huh? Yeah, okay. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time recapping homecoming. Also, the St. Bernard's does have a silent partner, might be the way to say it, with the Sisters of Orange, and Dave had a chance to go down and talk, spend a little bit of time, kind of a retreat for... I guess, for principals and presidents. So we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that came out of that also when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. But before we do, I love that quote. That's a proverb. I can remember, where was that? Oh, maybe the early 70s? Pre-OPEC, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that might be pre-you, I'm not sure. Arabian proverb, quote, "Trust in Allah, but tie your camel." Yeah, no kidding. So how'd homecoming go for you?
Great. This year better than previous years. I think we had some good leadership on our ASB to make it, our student government, to just make it a really spirit-filled week where we had participation from all the classes. And they just did a really good job decorating, getting the students and teachers and administrators involved in the activities of the week, from rallies to dressing up to different events that they did. So kudos to them. It just made for a really good week. And, at the end, we cap it off with the football game and also a lot of alumni coming back.
That's what I was going to ask, with the alumni interaction.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about it over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Does the school do a good job connecting back to the alumni?
We need to do a better job. And we've got, our alumni association. It's an outside group, but they do a good job of putting on events and mixers. But what they've found is that those that are attending aren't the younger generations, those that are most recently out of school, 5, 10, 15 years. And so, interestingly enough, St. Bernard's has a lot of those that are 10, 15, 20 years removed from attending St. Bernard's that actually work and teach and administrate at the school, myself included. So we've partnered with them and with the goal of increasing involvement with those younger generations to get them active in alumni events and the school and reach out to them a little bit better.
Are there class reunions that are the typical ones? A 10-year reunion or...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Things of that nature.
Yeah, those are ongoing. I just saw something, Facebook has really helped make those a lot easier to organize. And I just saw one for the class of 95 that is already organizing theirs for 2015.
It'll be the 20th.
The 20th for them,
so I made it.
You're good. Good job. You passed. And that class of 95 includes our, current football coach and athletic director, Matt Tomlin. And was the senior class when I was a freshman at St. Bernard. So a lot of fond memories, and it's kind of hard to believe that they're now.
As a freshman, fond memories?
St. Bernard's special tradition where we have brothers, big brothers. So freshman, you come in.
The mentor.
You've got a mentor, senior, and my mentor senior at the time was Matt Tomlin. So,
this is a little payback thing then.
Yeah, I owe him for protecting me all those my freshman year. Yeah, that's why I hired him to be our new football coach. That, and he's, you know, a great football mind and a great person and doing an awesome job for us.
How's the staff? Have you been able to integrate and to kind of do some of the stuff? Because there's always turnover.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned, you know, having the new football coach, mm-hmm. AD. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's normal stuff to happen. Mm-hmm. I know last week, Eureka High honored Bob Bonamini.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, another turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you look for, is to have a certain amount of turnover each year just to keep the organization healthy?
It's a given. And, you know, there's turnover you can kind of plan for, people that will kind of say, you know, this is my 5-10 year goal. We're 5 or 10 years down the road. And some that it's just sudden where you have, you know, a spouse that gets a job in another area or they want to move somewhere, things like that. So you have to kind of balance the two and, you know, plan for the best. And we've done a really good job of bringing in new staff that understand the culture and do a good job integrating with those existing teachers.
What about with the kids? Yeah, it's certainly, I think we all had teachers either at college or at high school or I suppose even at junior high that we wanted to have in their class,
mm-hmm.
or we want to be part of it. They retire, they move on, they're no longer teaching that class. You know, change happens.
Mm-hmm.
Do you work with the kids at all in trying to let them know what's going on or why, and here's a new teacher, here's their strengths, mm-hmm. here's the areas you might be able to help them out with, and work that way? Or is it just, here's the subject matter, sign up for it if you want it?
I think that when a new teacher comes in, they're recognized as somebody that we've selected as somebody that's going to fit in into the system, into the culture. That I believe our students and parents put a lot of trust in us to select good teachers, and I believe we've done a very good job of doing that. So I think the students rely on that trust to just, you know what, I believe that this is going to be a good teacher, and I know that if there's an issue, I can go to Mr. Sharp or any of the other administrators and talk it out.
And they might even listen.
We try to, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We try to do some problem solving, yeah.
Yeah. Interaction, dialogue, yeah. That kind,
yes,
of stuff. Okay. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp from St. Bernard's. Considering some of the classes that are available, some of the challenges, some of the testing, do you read Malcolm Gladwell?
I started reading The Tipping Point.
Okay.
I was interested in that.
Mm-hmm. I'm in the midst of reading his new one. Mm-hmm. It's David versus Goliath.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there was an interesting chapter, and the whole focus was, it was in an academic setting as the example,
mm-hmm.
better to be a big fish in a small pond or a small fish in a big pond.
Mm.
Just, the example was discussing a gal who had straight A's, applied to Brown and Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to be a biology since little person.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Brown. Prestige, Ivy School, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And her tests were such, entrance tests, that she was in the, I believe she was in the bottom third.
Mm.
Now, still the bottom third of the top, sure, echelon, right? Got her first B-. messed her up so much she crashed and burned, couldn't reach out to others. Mm-hmm. She was labeled as as somebody who was an average student, mm-hmm. instead of being somebody who was a stellar that you would go to for all that you needed to know. Mm-hmm. She ended up not being a biologist. Mm. The cultural components of not being the big fish mm-hmm. was a significant issue. Thinking about that in many applications, but obviously you guys, as you've got kids beginning to apply to college this time of the year, if you had somebody who was accepted to one of those prestige schools mm-hmm. and maybe a notch down, mm-hmm. would you avoid the temptation of the big pond instead of getting somebody into an environment and culture where they would have a higher likelihood of success?
I can imagine in that example that you used from that book that was a student that had not really dealt with any sort of failure really in their life.
Aces across.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's an important part of educating the whole person is how to deal with failure and how to overcome that and not let one B minus ruin your dreams and aspirations. In economics class this week, I was out at the meeting with the Sisters of St. Joseph of Orange, and so I had a YouTube video. It was a lecture from a UC Berkeley professor about economics. It tied into where we were in the chapter, and I asked the students, "Okay, try to figure out how many students are in this professor's class." And it was a good presentation, whiteboard, and there was interactive where the students could answer questions that the professor had, and it had a running tally at the top, and it got up to 650 students. And I said, okay, you come into first period every day and you kind of, you know, chat and you get to know one another and you're having fun and the class starts. Imagine going into a lecture hall with 650 other students. How are you going to interact with those others? You're probably not going to be all chatting and chummy and talking about practice the day before because you might not know any of them. So letting them understand that we're at St. Bernard's, a class of 30 is huge. It's big. I mean, that's the exception. But picture yourself, multiply that by 20 and kind of see where you are. So, and that's opening their eyes, getting them to see that there's more than just what they're seeing every day, and helping them to deal with failure and to encourage them to take risks and to support them when they fall down and say, you know what, it was worth it.
Will you push somebody to the point where they won't have success, so if they do have the opportunity to experience what it is not to have the answer, to have to scramble, to really have to study and research to get it, mm-hmm. if they have that internal drive?
Yes, and I think that if we've done our job to encourage that sort of going out there and trying something new, possibly failing, if we've done our job at this level, then I would feel confident saying, you know what? Go test out that big school, that big name that you think that, you know what, it's possible, but I don't know the outcome. Try it out, test it. You can do it. So it kind of depends on the student, but if we've done a good job, I would have total confidence that we could say, go do it, go get it.
Small fish, big pond.
Well, that book was about underdogs, so maybe there's another example we could use right there as an underdog succeeding in that big pond.
it was really kind of a thought-provoking chapter, mm-hmm. you know, about mm-hmm. what if, because mm-hmm. you could apply it to obviously sure. a lot of different settings. Mm-hmm. But yeah, getting somebody to understand just because you're not positive, positive, positive reinforcement all the time doesn't mean that you're not successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Too many of us focus on that. So okay. Sure. So much for philosophy. Maybe you wrap that into Brown's religion class somehow. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
A decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. Now, I noticed, Dave, with the homecoming and discussions of staff and stuff, you didn't bring up a victory over Ferndale in football. Now, I don't know if you poisoned the water before the game, or how did that one happen?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, our homecoming week was probably the most successful it's been in a long time, at least in the 4 years I've been there. We had a lot of momentum going into that week because the Saturday prior to homecoming, our football team beat Ferndale for the first time since October 1998. So 15 years.
Oh, you would remember 98, wouldn't you?
Well, it was the year after. I graduated. Spring of 98, fall of 98 was the last time. Yes, of course I remember 98. So, and, you know, prior to that, the school had had some success against Ferndale, you know, in the mid to late 90s. And Coach Tomlin, Matt Tomlin, was a part of that in 1995 when he beat the Crusaders, quarterback by Matt Tomlin, had some victories against Ferndale. And I remember going up to Coach Tomlin after the game on that Saturday where we most recently beat Ferndale, and he was just, you know, overcome with some emotion, and he made the comment, you know, just to have our student athletes feel some of that success and that triumph that I had back then is just so incredibly worth it. So it was a good victory for not just the team, the players and coaches, but, you know, for the school too. It was a huge sense of pride and accomplishment.
Yeah, it is. Other athletic event isn't smack them, you get steamrolled on.
You know, one out of every 15 years, that's kind of a long time. We hope to have a bit more success. I'll put in that context, but it's a long season. That's one game. I know that they celebrated it for a short period of time, and then it was business as usual, prepare for the next team. And that's what I love about Coach Tomlin. Very businesslike preparation. You know, you win on Saturday by what you do on the practice field Monday through Friday. So our guys were prepared. They continued to prepare themselves. And, you know, this has been a pretty successful football season. It's not over yet. We've got some games to play. But I'm totally confident with the job that Coach Tomlin is doing.
You mentioned about reviewing and being offside and celebrating victories. When you went down to meet with the other principals and the sisters, what'd you say? What victories were celebrated there, either by you or by some of the other folks from the different campuses throughout the area, or state, rather?
I certainly did mention, you know, that triumph, you know, that that moment. It didn't completely resonate with the other principals because they're principals of elementary schools. So, I mean, they understand, you know, a big victory for a school, but the interesting thing about the network is that they are 22 schools, all elementary schools except St. Bernard's, and the exception, of course, is that the Sisters of St. Joseph of Orange came to this area in the early 1910s, 1912, with education as their ministry. It started St. Bernard's and the hospital, St. Joseph, and then had left after that. So a little different perspective, you know, from the other principals in the room.
Common issues, though, to be dealt with education, or were you there as the elementary school principal?
We were there as a school.
That was a common.
You know, I was there as St. Bernard's. Our issues, you kind of go into those settings and think, well, you know, I've got this issue. I mean, I'm the only one. But everybody on the table there has those sort of issues. Enrollment, fundraising, you know, relationships with the community, parent groups, things like that. You know, those are all issues that we deal with as principals.
Basic agenda in everybody's staff meetings, yeah.
Well, yeah, what was interesting about the presentation, it's part spiritual nourishment, other part business. And the spiritual nourishment part was the spirituality of leadership. And the speaker tied in, as he put it, the three G's, gratitude, generosity, and grace. And in gratitude, you know, he made the point, we often compare the worst in ourselves with the best in others. And if that's the case, you're never going to win. You're never going to overcome an obstacle, okay? So I might think, well, man, I wish I had the money that school had. Well, you're kind of comparing apples and oranges. Be grateful for what you do have, and it will help you to be generous and to give more. And at that point of generosity, once you've given, you know, it's really out of your hands, the outcome of that event. You kind of put it to a higher power.
So in that kind of a opportunity to get away a little mm-hmm. bit, and whether you want to call it a retreat or training session or networking mm-hmm. opportunity, did you go out with goals for the event, either to network, to meet the new mm-hmm. folks, mm-hmm. take somebody aside and say, hey, how'd you deal with this? Did you have any goals when you left?
Certainly, for me, the goal was to do just that, to network, okay? So imagine the sisters, their network of education network, 22 schools spread across the state. There's a cluster of schools, maybe 5 from San Diego, another 5 to 10 from Orange County, Los Angeles area, another 5 to 10 from San Francisco, and then there's us. So we don't really have an opportunity to network with local principals, because there aren't any in the Catholic school setting. So for us, you do these enough times over the years where you get to develop those relationships with those individuals, and you can talk about those issues, and you can talk about it, you know, confidentially, and know that they are facing the same thing and can give you a strategy to help overcome it.
Is Cardinal Newman one of those that the sisters oversee, or is that a separate school?
They're not part of the network. St. Eugene's down in Santa Rosa is. They're an elementary school that is a part of the network. However, the sisters are looking to expand beyond those 22 schools to bring their services throughout the state.
St. Vincent, St. Elizabeth, they're not either. Mm-hmm. So when the sisters are looking to expand, are they looking to acquire or to come into communities that already have private Christian or private Catholic schools mm-hmm. and bring their special brand of education?
Yeah, it's really to partner with schools in different areas. So let's imagine that they went to Santa Rosa to have a presentation at St. Eugene's. And these presentations happen 2-3 times a year. It's for all the faculty and staff to really get some spiritual nourishment. And the sisters do a great job of bringing presenters to do that. So let's imagine St. Eugene's, there's a presentation there, and the sisters are wanting to expand their network. Invite some of those other schools in the area to join that presentation, to see the value of what the sisters are doing, to the following year, sign up as a member.
So it'd be like an affiliation.
Yes. Kinda. Yes. Really, the sisters' goal is professional development, continuing, you know, the spirituality of the sisters and you know, their special grace into the future. Because 25 years ago was the point when they opened and started this network, and that was the point where, you know, the sisters were really getting out of education and focusing more on healthcare, but they wanted to continue that reach into the schools and provide their, you know, special brand of education and continue that on.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 3:44. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop with Dave Sharp. When you came back mm-hmm. From the retreat that you had in Orange, how do you transfer that information? I mean, one thing is, okay, you make your notes, fine. Mm-hmm. However, the passion, the one-on-one, the seeing their baby blues, so to mm-hmm. speak, mm-hmm. that's an awful lot of that message, you know, the mm-hmm. nonverbal communication part.
Yeah.
How do you bring that, or do you just kind of exude it and presume that others will pick up on it?
Fortunately for me, when I came back on a Wednesday, we had a faculty meeting that day. And so anytime we have a teacher and administrator go to an outside workshop, it's really their job to bring that information back. And so I was able to present, I had a short window because the presentation prior about lockdowns from our school resource officer, which was great, took a little longer than we expected. But I was able to share some information. I'll continue that in a couple weeks when we have our next faculty meeting. But you bring that information back, you share it with the group. The spirituality of leadership is not just for administrators. Teachers are educators, and they lead children. So they need to know these things too. And you know, I was happy to bring it back and share my notes.
Are you going to share the notes with your student body, student government leaders?
That's a good point. Even our seniors too would benefit from those things that I learned too. So yeah, that's another filter down to the students and let them receive that information that, you know, I had to go a whole day away to learn.
Well, it kept you out of trouble too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Sort of.
Sure.
So I would imagine that the hospitality suites are a little bit different there than what I'm accustomed to, huh?
There's good food.
Everything's all wine, right?
All wine. Not at 8 in the morning, no.
Well, that would be early mass, but you'd work that in.
They do a wonderful job of taking care of us, so it's always a pleasure. Even though it takes a couple days out of your week, it's still great.
Well, I'm getting a little recharged. That's got to count for something.
Orange County is a destination, so yeah, we take turns going down there.
Did you get an orange?
No, a pumpkin.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a big orange. Well, celebrate Halloween safely.
Thanks, you too.
And don't play with too many knives.
Okay.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody you love. See you tomorrow.